Peter Greenberg joins us now. Good morning, Peter. How you doing?
I am very good, sir.
Let's talk about the latest on that Air India plane crash. They're saying new evidence points to an extremely rare dual engine failure as the cause. Is that what you're thinking, too?
Yes, but you've got to go a little bit deeper than that. And in any air crash investigation, and remember, they're sending go teams to the site from everything from metallurgical to weather, to engine performance, to human factors, to fuel, to tires. They're going to have to systematically rule everything out before they can rule any one thing in. But, as you suggest, they do know certain things now that they've recovered both the cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder. But the one thing that's troubling investigators is if you look at that video, and I'm sure you have seen it by now, it's an 11,500-foot runway, a very long runway in India. And most planes, including the 787, even though it was fully loaded for a nine-hour flight, would never use more than maybe 7,500 or 8,000 feet of it. He used every single foot of that runway, only able to take off at the very end. You'll see the cloud of dust that he created just because he was at the end of the runway, a part of the runway that nobody ever uses. That basically indicates he had a thrust problem before he ever took off.
Yeah, good point. And how about that lone survivor walking away from the crash? Are people making too big a deal of his seat in the exit row as saving
him?
They
are, yeah. They are, because it really doesn't matter where you sit on a plane. Every plane crash dynamic is different. You may remember the old DC-9s that had the engines in the back of the plane, those two engines in the back. When they had accidents, the weight of those engines were enough to break off the back of the plane, so people sitting in the rear of the plane had a better chance of getting out. Again, it's where the fuel is stored. This particular seat he was in was located in front of the wings by the exit door, and the fuel, of course, was in the wings. That may have contributed to his luck, if you will.
It's summer vacation time. People are planning trips, and I read something interesting. I want to get your opinion on this. It was an article about using a backpack, and supposedly no airline agent will slap a tag on your backpack and make you wait for it on the jet bridge. Is that true?
I'm afraid not. they're looking to generate revenue everywhere they can, especially in the days where people are trying to, you know, carry on everything short of the kitchen sink. And as a result, you're seeing bags on jetways waiting to be gate checked that may be as much as 60 bags per flight. It's the other problem that's contributing to this is the airlines have added so many more seats to some of these planes that there's physically no room in the overhead compartment, even if people just brought one carry-on to cover all those bags. So it's become a real physical challenge.
And I heard that, I think it was United now, charging you if you want to avoid a middle seat. In other words, more than just the charge for moving into Economy Plus, you can actually pay for a better seat. Are airlines doing this now?
Oh, they've been doing it for a while. In fact, that's all part of the upsell. What you get when you make a reservation on many flights is just a ticket. The seat itself has an upsell. And what's really insulting is some airlines determine that a seat closer to the front of the plane is worth an extra premium, even if it's the dreaded middle seat. It's ridiculous. And so depending on the load of the plane, I never book a seat in advance. If it's going to cost me a premium, I'll wait till I get to the gate, because every once in a while you get lucky that way. Yeah. The last thing I want is to pay a premium for a dreaded middle seat.
Yeah, if you go online on some airlines anyway, it seems like you have no choice but to pick a seat that's going to cost you more money, but don't fall for it, right?
Well, not only that, those seating charts are not necessarily telling you the truth, because airlines hold back a number of seats for their mega million milers and their people of status. So that's not always a reflection of the total number of seats available on a flight. You'd much stand a better chance if you're not one of those premium members to wait at the gate.
Single tickets on Delta, United, and American have been shown to be higher, at least I think online anyway. Are they charging us more to travel solo? What's going on here?
Apparently, they've been doing it for a while. Welcome to the brave new world of algorithms. They know if you're traveling single, there's a reasonably better chance that you're a business traveler than a leisure traveler, and they'll price it accordingly. They got called out on it a couple of weeks ago, And within about 48 hours, a lot of these airlines scrubbed those fares from their websites. Guess what? They're back.
No.
So be careful.
I was on a flight back from Los Angeles recently, and the plane wasn't full. It was a nice treat. Are loads really down this summer domestically?
No, they're not. You were lucky, my friend, because what's happening is more Americans are saying they don't want to go overseas now because they're worried about immigration policies, deportation, America's position in the world, not to mention the economy. The real move now is that we're not going to travel. We are going to travel domestically. So U.S. airfares, domestic flights are way up. San Francisco to New York last week, a round trip, it should have been $350, was retailing for $787 in coach. So you're going to see bargains overseas this summer, but it's going to be a huge domestic travel summer. That means on the roads as well, with hotel rates going up. As long as gas prices don't spike, we're all going to be traveling within the continental U.S. this summer, it seems.
Sounds like rental car prices might be going up too, huh?
Oh, and they will. Absolutely. Law of supply and demand.
And as far as fares to Europe, what are those looking like?
That's what's coming down. Because remember, if fewer folks from Denmark and Germany, let's not mention Canada, are flying to the U.S., that means there are fewer of us flying there. A lot of empty seats. I came back from London to Los Angeles last week on an American Airlines 777. About half the passengers in coach had their own row. That'll give you an idea of the drop in traffic to the United States.
And back to that Air India tragedy for just one more question. That Boeing 787 has had a very, very good safe track record over the years, hasn't it? And I guess they're going to be inspecting. I know they're inspecting them in India. Will they be inspecting them here?
Well, you know, having a good safety record just because you haven't had a fatal crash doesn't mean you've had a good safety record. The plane was plagued initially by battery problems. You remember that it was grounded for a while by the FAA. It also had some trouble with electrical issues. This particular flight, the current rumor is that the plane itself, the incoming flight, which then became the fatal flight, was having electrical issues with in-flight entertainment, seat back lights, everything else. And what investigators are looking at right now was whether an electrical problem contributed to that dual-engine basically shutdown.
Interesting. Peter Greenberg, he'll be on here on WGN Saturday between 5 and 8 p.m. Always good talking to you, Peter. Happy travels. Safe travels.
Right back to you.
Thank you.